Philippians chapter 3, we are going to have our final installment on our Heart Notice series. We are going to look at the feeling, the emotion, the thought, the struggle of insecurity. And then next week, we will partake in communion. Something that I'd really encourage you about next week is to come out ready to celebrate and to remember what Christ has done for us. Communion really should be a special time for believers. It should be a special time for the family of God as we, you know, remember Christ's sacrifice upon the cross for us. But we also look forward to being with Christ for all of eternity. And then after communion, we will start the book of Jonah. We will work through the book of Jonah, and we're going to entitle it, or the series will be, I See You. So if you know somebody that maybe has been running from the Lord, or even in your own life, you've kind of realized, man, I'm kind of drifting, or I'm kind of, running at times for the Lord, I'm confident that the book of Jonah will be used by the Lord to bring change in your life or encouragement where you may need some encouragement, as we are prone to wander away from God's instruction and God's direction in our life. But this evening, insecurity, and we are going to read a small little section of scripture in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to pick up in verse 7. If you're ready to dive into God's word, can I get a let's do this? Not too bad. Here we go. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may attain, or that I may gain, Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Father, we come before you right now and we ask that you would speak to us as your people. Lord, we ask as we have opened up your word that you would minister to our very hearts, that we would be equipped from this evening section of scripture to go about our week and to put our heart on notice when the emotions and the feelings of insecurity flood in. Lord, I want to ask right now that there would be a confidence and a security brought into the heart and the lives of every Jesus follower this evening as we look to your Son, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts and in our minds the understanding that there is a confidence, that there is an assurance that a believer has in Jesus and Jesus alone. I ask, Lord, that you would even reveal this evening to anyone that does not know you, Lord, that confidence and that assurance of forgiveness, of belonging, of the future that is found in your Son. So I thank you so much for the opportunity to share your word. I pray and ask that you would do a work now through the preaching and teaching of your truth in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. The battle of insecurity. There may be for some of you the mark or the sign that you struggle with insecurity because on your bed this evening or today was a mound of clothes that were left. You tried something on, you went to the mirror, and then as you looked in the mirror, insecurity flooded and you thought, does this outfit work? I'm uncomfortable with it. And you began to nitpick at what you saw in the mirror. You changed the outfit and threw it on the bed because, you know, time was short. You slipped on another outfit to go back to the mirror. And then again, you were slammed with thoughts of insecurity. I don't like my legs, or I don't like my chin, or I don't like my arms. And one outfit after another, and the pile is there. And even tonight, when you walk in, you're going to be reminded of your battle with insecurity. For some of you, there's that moment where insecurity floods in as you pull into the driveway of your parents' house or your family members. Instantly, you begin to wonder, you begin to lack confidence. Is this visit going to be like the last one? Are they going to point out these things in my life? Are they going to remind me of my past failures? Or are they going to bring out my shortcomings? And as you sit there in your car, in their driveway, your heart begins to race at a pace as if you were doing moderate exercise. And there's moments of insecurity when you walk into a place with a large crowd. You're going to support a friend or a spouse at a company party, and as you walk into the ballroom of the hotel and you see all of the people, you instantly begin to feel insecure. Going, am I dressed well enough? Am I presentable enough? Can I handle myself well enough? And there's an anxiety that overcomes you as you're with that crowd of people. I think of even the shortness of breath as you sit down at a computer to take a test or to fill out an application. And there's an insecurity that overwhelms your life of going, man, am I able? Do I have the confidence of doing this? And your emotions can run away. Well, as we've been looking week in and week out, we all struggle with our emotions. And what's the best way to deal with our heart? It's to talk to our heart. It's to put our heart on notice. And we would be lying to say this evening, I don't struggle with insecurity. I'm confident that the Scripture reveals to us that all of us in here struggle with insecurity because we are fallen. All of us have insecure moments. We have a lack of confidence, a lack of security because we live in a sinful world and we ourselves are sinful. Because of our sinful nature that we have from the beginning rebelled against God, there is this constant reminder in our own hearts and lives that we're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not pretty enough. We're not studly or manly enough. There's this blemish that has overcome all of creation because of our rebellion. How often do you struggle with insecurity? It's a result of the fallen world that we live in, that the things that we think in this world that we can find security, they ultimately fail. Your body will fail you someday. No matter how hard you train, no matter how disciplined you are in your eating, the relationship that you may be seeking security in will someday come to an end. The possessions break down. The accomplishments will get dusty on the shelves. We are reminded in this world and from God's Word that it all fails, that there is no security in ourselves or in this world. Look at what Paul says. If you look at verse 3 of chapter 3, he ends the verse and he says, I rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Do you see that? I have no confidence in the flesh. Paul, as I'm going to show you in a minute, has all of these reasons to be confident or to be secure. And he even comes to a moment in his life where he goes, this doesn't bring the security. This doesn't bring the significance or the confidence that I thought that it really would. He says, there's no confidence in the flesh. We all struggle with insecurity. Often, though, look at this, your insecurity is a result of where you have been looking for security. Insecurity will follow as a result of where are you looking to find security and confidence. If you're looking for confidence and security in yourself to, you know, discover the inner champion or the inner princess or fairy or whatever it may be, you're going to find yourself battling insecurity. If you're trying to find it in something in this world, you will find the result of insecurity. Because to overcome insecurity, I'd like to show you from this section of Scripture, you overcome insecurity by losing yourself in Christ. To overcome those moments of insecurity can only happen by truly losing yourself in Christ. There is no security in self. There is no security in the possessions of this world. There is no security in the things of this world. Security and confidence can only be found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And so look at what Paul says. He comes to verse 7, and he says in verse 7, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ." In other words, in the previous verses, Paul has listed these things that would bring a self-confidence, that would bring a self-assurance. If there was any, person that would look on the outside as if he never struggled with insecurity, it would be the Apostle Paul. And he kind of has been prodded to a point where he goes, "Hey, I'll show you what I had going for me, that if you had it, you would go, man, that's a very secure and confident person." But what does he say about those things? He says, "I counted it lost for Christ. It didn't bring me the security that I thought it would." Paul, in verse 4 through 6, lists the things that he could have confidence in. He will speak, and I'll read it to you in the New Living Translation. He'll speak of an inheritance or a birth, a birthright, an attainment, his family structure, all of the things that he had that maybe are lacking in your life, and you go, "I'm very insecure of it." Paul would even say, even if you had it, you would still battle with insecurity. So look at what Paul says he had in verse 4 through 6 in the New Living Translation. Paul says, "Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could." Do you hear him? If I could be secure and confident, this self-confidence, I was the one that could. "Indeed, if any others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more." And then verse 5, he begins to list them. "I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel." He's pure-blooded citizen. He's like, "I got my papers. I'm certified pure-blooded. I'm a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault." And so he goes to list these things of all of this self-confidence that he could have. "I had the right upbringing. I have the right connections. I have the right credentials. I have the right accomplishments. I have everything that maybe you this evening in your insecurity think that if I just had this, I would be confident. If I just attained this, I would feel better about myself." Paul says, "I had all of that. Every aspect of it. You could track it all down. And in my day and in my time, I was the poster child of all of it. But what does he say? I count it as lost. It didn't bring the security that I found in Christ." Look at verse 8. "Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." If you feel that your insecurity will be solved with more self-confidence, you will look in the wrong places. You'll look to good works. Paul talks about it there. "I was righteous." You'll look for a background. You want an upbringing or a past that is filled with, happy moments and highlights and accomplishments. Paul brought it up here. He knew his past. He knew where he was from. He knew he was pure-blooded. You'll look to comparison. You'll want to compare yourself to others, and you'll always want to find somebody that's not as good as you think you are or as talented as you think you are so that you look better. Paul even brings it out there when he says, "I'm of the strictest sect, the Pharisees." There was, the two major religious groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and Paul's like, "Hey, I was on the better of the two." You even could see the comparison that could come in there. But Paul comes and says, "It's all rubbish." And so in our battle with insecurity, I'd like to show you three ways and three areas where Jesus can provide a confidence if you would lose yourself in Him. The true cure to overcome insecurity is to lose yourself in Christ. And Paul goes, I put it all aside, and look at what he does. He comes to Jesus that I might gain Jesus. And you see, first, Jesus provides a security in relationship. Jesus provides a security in the heart, in the life of a believer as they have relationship with Jesus. You see there in verse 8, it says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. If you have your own Bible, you can circle that word knowledge or put your finger by that word knowledge and understand that what Paul is talking about is a relational knowledge. I know Jesus, not just facts. It's not like, you know, he asked Google or Alexa, who is Jesus? He had a knowledge of him in relationship. He had a relational knowledge of Jesus that brought a security in his life. You see, psychologists will say this, the insecure person looks at themselves from the perspective of someone else. Think about it. You walk into a room and you battle insecurity because you're wondering, what are they thinking of me? But Paul comes here and says, hey, the believer needs to see who they are in Jesus. It's not about what others think. It's the perspective of who does Jesus see me as? A couple of years ago, I was at a pastor's conference, and there was one pastor that I've respected over the years, and just the way in which he's handled himself and the things that he's been through and his ministry. And he was very frank and just very open with all of the pastors that were there at the conference. And he shared something with me that just stuck with me that I have never been able to shake because he was just real in that moment. This is a man that had pastored a church or has pastored a church and been very successful. But in his years of pastoring, he's had much suffering in his family. And his little daughter had battled with cancer for many years. And it seemed like she was in remission and things were good. And then all of a sudden, when they were on a family vacation at the beach, they had realized that their daughter's cancer was back. And they had dealt with the cancer and the treatments until finally his daughter, his little girl, breathed her last breath in this life and entered into eternity. He was at the bedside of his daughter as she died. And I remember as we prayed for him and just following it, it's like, man, that's crazy. I would look at my little girls and think about, man, I couldn't imagine being in that place. And as he was mourning the loss of his daughter, his church had stepped in and said, we love you. You take whatever time that you need. There's no reason to need to rush back. You mourn, you spend time with your family, and when you're ready, we would love to have you back, but take your time. And so he shared of going through those months. He would come to church, and he said he'd sit in the back pew of the church that he had founded, and he noticed that it was growing. He would listen to the man filling the pulpit and preaching. And he openly admitted, he said, I sat in the church in the back and I had a moment with God where I said, my daughter is dead. The man that's preaching in the church that I had founded is doing a much better job and it is growing and flourishing without me. Who am I? You hear the insecurity? He said, but then the reminder came in, you know who I am? I am a beloved son of God. Do you hear the relational difference? Do you hear the security that is brought into the life of a person that is maybe so insecure and so vulnerable in the moment? It's found and seen in that he had a knowledge of Jesus and who he was in Christ, that it did not matter if he was a preacher. It did not matter if he had his daughter back. It did not matter anything that he'd accomplished, but that he was a beloved son of God. Paul lets us know in that battle of insecurity, there is a security in relationship with Jesus. It is a relationship with him that he even mentions, if you look down in verse 10, He talks about it being and knowing Him in the fellowship of His suffering. It is a lifelong commitment that is a present relationship regardless of situation. I know Him and have a security in the good times, and I know Him and I have security even in the bad times. He'll write in his last dying letter to a young man by the name of Timothy, he'll say, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day." Paul shows us we can overcome our insecurities by understanding that Jesus provides a security in our relationship with Him. To come to the point of going, "I can trust Him with all things," you see in this, there is a confidence to let go of self. "I count it all as rubbish," he says. He lets go of all the accomplishments he had. Think about it for a minute, just in this idea of relationships. Is there a relationship that you are holding on to, that you are trying to keep, even at the sake of violating the convictions you have of God's Word, making decisions, doing things that you have deemed wrong according to Scripture, but you are compromising, there is a conviction, but you're trying to hold on to that relationship because it brings you a sense of security? The Scripture comes in and says that relational security is found only one place, and that is in Jesus. Paul had that moment in his life on the road to Damascus. Where have you had that moment? To get the conversation, to get the change here, look at this. Verse 8, "I count them as rubbish." All of the accomplishments, all of the things that we would go, "Man, that brings a lot of security." He describes it as garbage. It's releasing out of the hands what is trash to lay hold of what is the treasure. I've seen this with my children. You know, they've got candy, and I go to get it from them, you know, to open it up. And as they were little and I'd grab it, they'd be holding on to it, right? And the wrapper would come off the lollipop. And I'd tell them, like, "Hey, can you hand me the wrapper?" And they're like, "No, I don't want to let go of it." And they're like squeezing onto the wrapper. And I'm going, "No, I want you to give me the trash because I want to give you the candy." Paul comes in here and he says, "Look at this. I've discovered that it's trash. And as I let go of it, I lay hold of the treasure of all treasures, the Son of God, Jesus. I overcome my insecurity by losing myself in Christ." He points out a second thing that Jesus provides to help you with your insecurity. Jesus provides a secure perfection. Jesus provides a secure perfection. You know, your struggle with insecurity may be a result of blemishes and failures and imperfections and things that you see or that you're aware of in your own life. And it's just left you at this place as you self-focus instead of losing yourself. Insecurity invades like an infection, and it just spreads and explodes within your heart. Paul addresses that and says, no, Jesus helps you with that insecurity because He provides a secure perfection. Verse 9, "And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." The righteousness which is from God by faith. There is in Jesus this secure perfection, but it has to do with your position. It has to do with where you're at. Your position is either in Christ or out of Christ. You know, there's a lot that can go wrong when you are in the wrong position. There's a lot of things that don't go across when you're positioned incorrectly. You know, if you've ever typed and your hands are not on the keyboard correctly, you type rubbish, right? If you're just off by one key, you're speaking a foreign language that even Google can't translate. Even spell checker can't fix. I even realized this as I was watching the Olympics. You know, the Winter Olympics are on. It's like, go USA. And we were really good at fourth place this Winter Olympics, but we showed up at least. And I found myself, as we would record it, and I'd grab the remote, I would often mess up the Olympics. I'd grab the remote and I'd press the button. I thought I was skipping ahead, but I'd go to the end or I'd start over and I'd look down and I had the remote upside down. Who would have thought? But it was all about position. Paul comes here and says, look at this. Jesus provides a secure perfection if you are in the right position, the position of a receiver instead of a producer. Do you notice that he talks about my righteousness and his righteousness? There's a change here. The individual either becomes the recipient or becomes the recipient instead of the producer. Maybe you have been battling with insecurity because you have been trying to produce righteousness. You have been trying to produce a right standing with God. You have been trying to produce a right doing in this life. And such production is unimaginable or unattainable for anyone. You must receive it. You can't produce it. Paul lays it out here. You see that you're either a recipient or a producer. He talks about producing my own righteousness, if you look at the verse in verse 9, right? And being found in him, not having my own righteousness that is from the law. If you think and hear that I will be right with God, that I will be right with man, that everything will be right in life if I just do enough good, if I'm just a good person, boy, will insecurity catch you off guard. Because Paul says it's not my own righteousness. The law lets us know what righteousness is. God gave us his commandments, it's his perfection. And it's that mirror that reminds us of our imperfections and our failures. To think that, okay, I can produce this, you come to Scripture and it says that there's none righteous, no, not one. Insecurity could be a result of trying to produce something that you can only receive in Jesus. Would you maybe this evening take a moment and search your heart to see if there's a hidden thought that says, I've done right by God, he should do right by me. If that is a thought or if that is your heart's proclamation, I would say you're trying to produce instead of receive. And the only thing that you will produce is constant reminders that you are unable to do it. And so Paul lets us know that your position, if you are positioned in Christ, you receive this righteousness. That if you are found in him, that you have faith in him, you are a recipient in which all the righteousness, the rightness, the right doing of Jesus is poured out into your life and present in your character. And when God looks down on you, you can be secure in knowing that he sees you as he sees his perfect son, Jesus, because of what Christ has done. You see what he says? He says in verse 9, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. You become a recipient. As I believe, the righteousness comes. Paul would write in Romans about this. He says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As you believe in Jesus, he gives you his righteousness. The Bible will go on and Paul will say in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, he talks about just as through one man, Adam, sin entered the world and all the insecurities of sin and all the reminders of failure. He also goes on and says, but God and his wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness has come through Jesus Christ. Have you been found in him? You want to know there's a place to go if you are insecure in what you have done and in your past and even in your present failures? There's a place that you can go and see what it is to be a recipient of his righteousness, and that place is the cross. Do you know what Christ has done to reassure you and to give you a confidence in him? He has gone to the cross and he has died for you. You see what Paul would say in Roman or in Philippians chapter 2. He talks about Jesus being found in likeness of a man, of him emptying himself, becoming humble and obedient, even to the point of death, death on the cross. You see that to be found in him, look what he has done for you. He became sin that you might become righteousness. He who had no fault, he suffered for our faults. The one that was the beloved Son of God, he was the one that was stricken and despised by his Father that we might be found in Christ. And it says in verse 9 that this being found, that this righteousness is a result of faith, of trusting in him. There's a third security that is given in this text. We overcome insecurity by losing ourself in Christ. Christ provides security in relationship. Christ provides security in perfection. It's his perfection that he gives the believer. It's his forgiveness that washes the believer's past failures and makes them right with him. But there's also the security. Jesus gives a secure understanding. Paul comes in verse 10 and 11, and look at what he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed in his death, and obtaining a resurrection from the dead. Jesus gives a secure understanding. Your battle with insecurity may be a result of an unknown future. Oh, how insecure we can be. How lacking of confidence we can be when we sit in the doctor's office on that noisy piece of paper, dangling our feet as if we were 8 years old again, waiting for the doctor to come in. Oh, what is he going to say? I'm dying. I know I am. I woke up this morning. I had a headache. I've got a brain tumor. I'm just dying. I know it. It took me forever to fall asleep last night. I must have liver cancer. I mean, just the things that can race in, right? Paul addresses two major things that can be battles of insecurity: death and suffering. He takes it here and goes, Jesus provides a secure understanding that I might know him as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That I might know him as I suffer, as I go through this life. I mean, think about it. Suffering brings constant mental questions. Suffering is this constant nag, this constant poke, this constant scrape and prodding that can cause the mind to fall apart. And you ask yourself questions, what did I do wrong? Will this ever end? Suffering can erode your identity to where you even associate yourself. This is just what I am. This is just what I'm going through. But Paul comes in here and goes, Jesus gives a secure understanding that I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. He puts purpose in it. Death can be, for so many, considered this mystery, this unknown thing. It's who knows what's beyond. You know, we've celebrated and mourned, you know, the loss of Billy Graham. And I was even doing a little reading, and there was a tweet that just exploded on Twitter after Billy Graham's death. It had exploded and went viral to the point where it was being retweeted every 15 seconds. And really what it was is it was a tweet or a quote taken from the old revivalist preacher D.L. Moody, but it was put to kind of the words of Billy Graham. And it says this: someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God. Does that sound like a battle of insecurity? Does that sound like a lack of confidence? Or does that sound like a secure, certain, confident man? Why? Because Jesus provided a secure understanding that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, and by any means attaining the resurrection of the dead. Look at how this understanding works out, the power of his resurrection. There are chances in here this evening that are high that many of you have experienced this power of the resurrection. That I might know him, a certain understanding that you understand the resurrected power of Jesus if you are forgiven. You can be here tonight and have experienced and know the power of the resurrection of Jesus if your sins have been forgiven. Jesus came not to make bad people good, but dead people live. The Bible says we were once dead in our sins, but we are made alive in Christ. And so if you come in here this evening, you can have this certainty and this security and this confidence of going, Jesus has provided this understanding with me that I know the power of his resurrection. I was once dead in my sin, but now I am alive in Christ. He has forgiven me. He has washed me and he has cleansed me. I once was this walking dead zombie in my sin. And boy, I thought I had it together. But the moment I came to the cross and I saw that he died for me and that he rose from the dead and I confessed my wrong, life invaded my heart. Life invaded my very being. The power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection certainly comes with forgiveness. Remember that battle of insecurity from past failures, past shortcomings, past ambitions that were just squandered and wasted, the bankruptcy of righteousness. You come here, the power of the resurrection, you're resurrected from your sin, you have life in Christ, you're a new creation, as the Bible talks. The power of the resurrection, and then he says, the fellowship of his suffering. Now, we've got to understand this suffering correctly. This suffering that Paul talks about as he's in prison when he writes this, it speaks of suffering or being afflicted as a Christian as you serve Jesus. It's one who is suffering as a participating Christian, and he's attached to the suffering of Jesus. If you really look at it, we've had the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and then look at where it continues on. There is that I might be associated in his death. There really is in this final announcement, the final section of scripture we're looking at, look at this, a losing of yourself. To realize that when you thought you had it together, you were dead in your sin. But then to realize, man, as I suffer, as I lay it all down for Christ, this resurrected power, this loss and this hurt, it's all for Jesus. It's a letting go of all things in this life to lay hold of life beyond this life, the life of Jesus. It's the Christian that suffers insults and bodily harm, a loss of job because they're a believer, they're a Jesus follower. It's one who suffers for the sake of others. You're doing your best to lay down your life for your friend. The physical, the mental suffering as a result of looking out for others. He says that I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering. The fellowship of Christ's suffering moves the believer beyond the role of beneficiary of Christ's death and to a sharer in his suffering. Do you know the security of suffering for Jesus' namesake? He says to be conformed to his death, and then finally, look at this, to obtain to the resurrection of the dead. He does this great, wonderful thing. Look at how the security is done. The power of his resurrection, the suffering. You see Paul's writing, I'm suffering, conformed to his death, and then that I might obtain the resurrection of the dead. Paul walks us through what he knows to give his life for Christ, to die, to be buried, for it to all be done, but with such confidence that I may obtain the resurrection of the life, a resurrection from the dead, the resurrection that all believers look forward to in the future when Jesus returns. You overcome insecurity by losing yourself. And Paul lets us know that the focus has to come off of us and it has to go on Jesus to the point in which we lose everything. Christ, I lay it all down for you because I know that even in laying it all down for you, even if I lay down my life and I die for you, there is a resurrection of the dead. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. It's really this, remember? To overcome insecurity is to lose yourself. It's this loss-gain type of life. Robert Gromecki puts it this way, the apostle lost that he might gain. He lost self and gained Christ. He lost sin and gained righteousness. He lost that which was human and gained that which was divine. He lost temporal things and gained eternal things. Would you let go tonight of your insecurity and lay hold of Jesus, the very anchor to your soul? Would you tonight realize that you can overcome your insecurity by losing yourself in Christ? It's that moment that I think becomes very practical where you determine, I'm not going to be so concerned about what other people think about me. I want to be concerned about what God thinks about me. And does he see me as a beloved son or a beloved daughter? It's to come to the point of going, I'm not going to so focus on my past failures, my past record, my past shortcomings, my bankruptcy, as it were, but I'm going to come and see that in him I am righteous. I have received forgiveness. I have received restoration. I have received his perfection, and I am going to lay hold of that. It's to come to the point of all the insecurity from the uncertainties of the future, the uncertainties of this life, and go, wait a minute, Christ has provided this understanding. He's provided even a certainty in death. He's provided even a certainty in suffering. He has provided a certainty in the things I go through in this life, a certainty even in what is to come, a resurrection of the dead. But that's only possible if you can have a certainty in Jesus that you have trusted in him, that you have believed in him, that you know that he has died on the cross for all of your wrongdoings, and you can have a confident trust in him that he will forgive you and that he will make you right. You overcome insecurity by losing yourself in Christ. Would you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, I thank you for this evening, and I thank you for moments where we can come to your word and we can lay our hearts out and expose the things that we struggle with. And God, we know that we struggle at times with insecurity. And it can be difficult to look at it and to see that struggle could be from focusing on the wrong things, trying to find confidence and security in ourself when, Lord, we need to lose ourself in Jesus. We can so often try to strive and to fight and to move and to attain and to accomplish and to finish things and think that we have enough good before us, that we have enough accomplishments behind us, that, Lord, we will be reassured, but we're reminded tonight that the only assurance and reassurance that there is if we have received your righteousness that is only possible with relationship with your Son, Jesus. God, we understood in those times of insecurity because we don't understand the future, we don't know what's going on, and we are overwhelmed and overcome, and our heart races, and our palms sweat, and our breathing becomes difficult, and we feel so lost. God, we've come to your word, and we see that there is a security and an understanding that we can lose it all in this world and know that there is a world to come, that there is a resurrection of the dead. Father, I thank you for that truth. The dead in Christ will rise. I thank you for the truth that there is an eternity where there is no more pain, there's no more suffering, there is no more failure, there is no more insecurity, but there is eternity with you. And so, Lord, may we inventory our hearts tonight. May we be frank and open before you and refocus and go about our week being concerned about what you think. And may we be confident as we leave, knowing that we are sons and daughters in your kingdom because you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, for us. We thank you. We praise you. Be honored in our time of worship now in Jesus' name. Amen.